Fierce Femme Media.
It's getting oranger and oranger by the minute.
Like, it just sounds dumber and dumber by the minute. I can't wait to see this shit show that is their convention next week.
It's gonna be so fun. I'm totally gonna watch it. I'm gonna totally hate watch it.
Sure. 100%. Like how you watch, like, I don't know, what is
the Raiders?
The Bright,
the Bachelorette.
Never seen it. Never heard of her.
Stacey, I was literally just joking. I was waiting to see your face.
No, but when you like watch a sports team you hate just to root against them, like that's how I will be watching the Republican convention.
Yeah, because
these fucking idiots. Look at these speakers.
It's such a perfect recipe for disaster, and I can't wait to watch them fall. Because one, Trump doesn't function well unless he has like 10,000 people around him. Feeds off the bullshit like hatred cheering. And when he's going to have to be up there like a normal presenter talking with no one cheering, it's going to be, I can't wait. Oh, I'm totally going to hate watch it.
Well, and too, it's like, who are you going to have again? Like Scott Baio?
Oh, and the Black Lives, the people that pulled the guns on the Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
And that kid that sued CNN after he like berated that indigenous man. Yeah, that's their all-star lineup.
I know, the freaking MyPillow guy.
Oh, fuck.
Like, I can't with this thing. It's going to be...
Where he's like, Trump is like holding on, he's holding on to Trump and he's like laying his head on his ass. Have you seen that? The MyPillow guy.
Who are they going to have, the CEO of Goya Beans? Like, come on.
I don't want to watch you mouth kiss your daughter on stage ever again.
Right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Erin, what do you keep putting on your shoulder? Is that, are you like drunk and you think that's a parrot? What's happening? Are you a pirate now?
Hello. No,
pirates don't say hello.
It's a rice bag because I pretty much have like maybe the biggest knot I've ever had in my shoulder over here. Just from having,
I was waiting
for
it to be like, it's an old volleyball injury that I just got. Started acting up while I was benching my body weight.
When the weather changes. No, I've been like sitting in front of a computer, like entering mountains and mountains upon mountains and mountains of data because our accountant is an idiot at work. So I've had to basically help him. And the setup that he has in his office is all weird and I just don't like it. And now I have a bad kink in my neck.
I got a, when I started working for the place I work for now, they gave me a standing desk. So I push a button and it goes all the way up. Mm-hmm. Best thing to happen in my back.
I can't wait to get mine if I ever go back to work.
It's fantastic. Like I spend at least probably 10 to 15 minutes every hour at least standing and my back doesn't hurt anymore the way it used to.
Nice.
It's great. And you don't have to like crank it or anything. I just push a button and it goes all the way up and I push. Mm-hmm. And those are nice too, because I'm so tall. I can sit with it at the point that I actually want to work at it. It's not too low for me. I love it.
Jealous.
So fancy. I work on my couch because everything's closed and on fire and it's where I can watch Piper in her crate.
Things
are going great.
Yeah. Things are looking
2020.
Up. 2020. I am drinking a Pinot Noir from the Russian River Valley, which is here in California, and it's called Dusk to Dawn. I'm not usually a huge fan of the Russian River Valley wines. I tend to find them a little bit bitter, but this one's actually pretty good, and I've only had like 3 sips, so it's not even like half the bottle in. It's pretty good. That's like initially pretty good, so...
Nice.
I don't know if my expectations were just super low for it, and I was like, "Oh, this isn't total ass sauce," but no, it's okay.
Ew.
Anyone want a cupo ass sauce?
I am drinking the Buccaneer. It's a Cab Sauv from Napa, 2017, and I got it at the Bevo 5-cent sale. and it's super good. I'm definitely gonna buy it again when I go back to that sale, because it's almost sweet but not quite, and so you're like, oh, this is sweet. Wait, no, it's not. It's okay.
Wow. That's how I'm often described.
Wow.
No, never mind. Yeah.
I'm drinking water.
God, you're just the worst at this.
I know. Guys, I like one sip of alcohol and I'm convinced I would fall asleep during the podcast. I'd be like when Aaron and Jean were with each other and like slept through the whole podcast. I just have not been getting a lot of sleep. It's a whole thing. All my energy is going towards menstruating right now, so I just don't have it in me. And I started a new diet, so I'm also just like hungry. I'm at a calorie deficit. I feel like, you know, in the like olden days, women were just like, would just like faint and have hankies and stuff. That's how I feel right now. I just need to like drop my hanky on the ground.
Hanky in like 10 years. That sounds so funny.
Aaron, what are you drinking?
So I thought I'd take it easy tonight, and I'm having vodka.
Psych your bike. I was very impressed for a minute.
I know your face. I wish everybody at home could see it. I seriously have had maybe one of the worst weeks of my work life. It has been a shit show and a half. And I needed a drink. And so Hannah got her teeth cleaned on Wednesday.
Oh, poor and baby.
Yeah, and they took off a couple of these little, like, I called them moles. They called them growths. I'm going to stick with a mole.
Yeah.
And they're, like, on her ears. So, like, she's got some stitches, and, of course, she's had to have her cone on for most of the time. But, like, she was whining like crazy the last couple of days. Like, just, And I was just like, oh, my God. My
heart. Anesthesia.
Oh, God. That's and so today she's been great. So I was like, okay, I can actually have a drink tonight. So, but I'll tell you what, our kids, Stacy, our dog.
I know.
Man.
I know. You are preaching to the choir, lady.
Yeah. I love her. They also found out she has an arrhythmia.
Oh.
That was a lot of crying I did on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I was like, Gail, Don't want her to die.
Oh.
Calm down. I'm like, she's my kid. And she's like, calm down. I'm like, okay. It was bad, but her vet's really awesome, so that's good. But I think I have to take her to a cardiologist now.
That's very expensive.
Hey, join the club. Yeah. I had to do it with Lila.
I had to do it with Gizmo.
It's gonna be
that's $700 a pop.
Yeah, that echo is not cheap.
Nope. And then the medicine is not cheap either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys are not making me want to get another dog at all.
Do it.
Don't get a.
I'll give you one of mine. Which one do you want?
I can split in the house for a couple hours and be like, oh, okay, never.
I'll tell you what.
Oh my God, I can't even tell you how much I've dropped at the vet in the last month.
You could have bought your Tesla.
If you
added up all the money you spent on Lila and Piper.
Oh my God, I could have 8 Teslas probably. But even Piper, like she had her surgery, and then what happened after that? Oh, she had her surgery. Then we had an emergency vet trip because she got some stitches out on her own somehow, mysteriously, with a cone on in a crate. Then we went back to the vet to have the stitches removed. And then she got this mysterious skin stuff happening. So now we've been back to the vet a couple times because of that. She's back on antibiotics today for it. It's like the weirdest, shit. Another like $112 today on antibiotics.
Oh my God.
Dogs are awesome. Mm-hmm. Hey, shout
out. She's so cute and I love her.
Yes, same.
Shout out to Stacy's mom for making all of us face masks.
She's
got it going on.
Wine bottle face masks.
Does have it awesome. Going on.
Yeah. So thanks, Stacy's mom.
Yeah.
I got one too, so that we can all match.
Stacy's mom.
I just love that that's what she put on the envelope.
I know. I didn't realize it took me a minute to realize she was sending it to all of us. Like, once I saw it, I was like, oh, I bet we all got it. When she put Stacy's mom, I'm like, I've known her for 20 years. I know who she is. Like, she doesn't have to put Stacy's mom. Like, Lori, I know your first name. And I got it, and I was like, oh, I get it. Like, it's because she's probably sent one to all of us.
Like, do you want me to send them to you, or do you want so that you can mail them all, or are they okay with like me having their addresses so I can mail them? And then like it's a whole thing of like, what do I put so they know who it's from? Like, yeah, it was a whole thing, but yeah, it was really cute of her.
It was very cute. We are going to do some listener questions, but before we do that, we are going to talk about kids going back to school during the pandemic. And Stace, This is your time to shine.
And I don't even have like a lot to say about it, honestly. I can go back. It's been pretty mellow, but if I tell you the schedule, it's going to sound like insane. So my youngest has 6 periods a day. 30 minutes of it is on like a computer face-to-face with the teacher, with the whole class, like a Zoom meeting. And then 30 minutes of it is for assignments and then on to the next class. So it's a lot of face-to-face time with her teachers, which I'm actually, like, really thankful for. And she has 6 periods. My oldest, so the way they're doing it, and I just heard that the middle school is switching over to this too. She has 3 classes, and they'll switch to – so how it worked before was odd and even days. So every other day would be you have periods 1, 3, 5 – 7, and then the next day you would have periods 2, 4, and 6, and it would be every other day. So how they're doing it is the first half of the school year, you just have periods 1, 3, 5, and then the second half of the school year, you're going to have 2, 4, 6, and they knock down one class, so like they don't have an extra elective. So it sounds super confusing, but I'm actually kind of on board with it because she only has school for 3 hours a day. And so it's really chill for her. My youngest is, I had to write out, luckily Target Dollar Bins has this really cool little thing where you slide a paper down inside and it's wipe off so you can write whatever you want on it and erase it, because I have to write out her schedule every morning because it's like 10:03, meet with Mr. G, 11:15, meet with Mrs. H, like all this, like, it's so wild, but we're getting it down. It's pretty crazy. I'm on a Facebook group with all the different schools plus the parents of the town. So it's like 4 different groups.
Ooh, I bet that's real chill.
That, I don't know why this shocked me, because I know that I'm a younger parent, but I feel like my kids have caught up in age now that I'm not a young parent anymore. But I'm young to have a kid in high school, I guess. So I'm like, oh, this is simple. Like, if you go on Google, everything's on Google. It's on Google Meets, Google Chat, Google Classroom. Everything is on Google, and it's pretty simple. But I feel like when I'm reading through, all these parents are boomers. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? There's like parents that don't know how to use a Chromebook. So the school gives out Chromebooks if you don't have a laptop for your kid to use, or if you have more than one kid and only one laptop in your house, every kid can have a Chromebook. The parents don't even know how to turn these Chromebooks on. They don't know how to connect to Google. They don't know where to get the kids' passwords. And the school has been very accommodating with sending out emails, and the teachers have introduced themselves. They send the Google codes. You have to have a code to join the class. Like, I mean, I get that it's a lot, but I didn't realize how many parents were just completely lost and how many parents are not involved. Mm-hmm. You know, like my youngest, I sit down and write her schedule out in the morning, and then I give it to her, and she lets me know. She likes the privacy of having the video meets by herself, but she lets me know, hey, I can't connect. This link isn't working. Not sure what to do, whatever. So I help her there, but I feel like, one lady was like, my son hasn't been contacted by any of his teachers since the first day of school. What do I do? And so some people were trying to say, he's supposed to get emails from all his teachers within the last 2 weeks. has he gone on Google Classroom? And she's like, what's that? And I'm just like, oh, honey. Like, you're... He went to high school. So he did this last year, too. How was he doing this at the end of last year? Like, what was going on? So I said, hey, you know, a really good tool is to log on to Google Classroom and play with it. You can go to missing work. You can go to do. You can go to assignments. You can go to each teacher. And each teacher, you click on the teacher, and it's a thread of everything they've said since the first day of school. So it's their announcement, and then you can see the comments underneath. You can comment and say, I don't understand what you're talking about, whatever. And so I said, log on as your student and play with it. Go through their missing assignment. See if they're checking in. See if they're absent every day. Like, you can do all that. It's a very good program. And she was like, oh, I didn't even know it was on Google. And I'm like, oh.
Sometimes I wonder, though, how much of that is intentionally being obstinate because they don't agree with the online programming, and how much of it is they truly don't.
She was on the thread that actually has teachers on the thread on Facebook. And so a lot of the teachers were on there like, and then finally one lady said, I'm your son's government teacher, and I sent him the code 4 days ago, and I've emailed him like 3 times. And then the lady stopped. So I was like... Yeah, it's obviously a disconnect there. But I'm really surprised at how many parents are not interested in helping their kids. They're like, oh, you have the email because you have your logon on your phone, tablet, whatever it is, and the kids have the app, and you click on it, and it's everything you need to know. It's all the classes, all the teacher notes, all the everything. And so many parents are just like, oh, you got it? Okay, bye. Because that's what they do when they drop their kid off at school in the morning. Right. They're still expecting it to be 100% not their problem, I feel like, is what it seems like. And that just kind of blows me away. I'm surprised they have that attitude.
Are you?
Yeah. It's like, we're all trying to learn how to do this at home. Your kid is going to need your help. Like, it's not like sending them to the first day of school and knowing everything is taken care of.
Yeah.
What bothers me is the amount of parents that are referring to it as homeschooling. Uh-huh. Like, that's driving me absolutely bonkers. And I probably, like, I have a ton of friends that have kids, but I also have a shit ton of friends that are teachers. And the amount of hours they spend outside their contractual hours, like, preparing these lessons and getting the curriculum together and all that stuff, to have parents say that they are homeschooling their kids, like, that's one of the reasons I had to leave that group. Like, that was one of the comments that I couldn't read anymore from the one main, like, moderator chick who threw the biggest fit because her school wouldn't give her a hotspot to make her internet faster. Like, the school was giving, like, hotspots to kids who don't have access to the internet.
Yeah.
And she was, like, harassing the office staff because she has more than one kid and it's a drain on their Wi-Fi. And so they can't keep up with it. And they were like, well, you have internet. Like, you're going to have to contact your provider and get
faster internet.
And she's like, but I already did. You're supposed to provide. Like, it's that kind of attitude that I'm like, nah.
Well, I do. I feel for the kids who live not even more rural than where, like, you live, Stace. I mean, like, in the middle of the country who have to do this, who don't have internet. Like, I can't even imagine what they're dealing with. Like, some of that stuff is, I would think would be really, really difficult. And then some really impoverished, like low socioeconomic areas that the schools don't have the money to, like, give out Chromebooks or, you know, mm-hmm. There's a whole host of challenges that I'm sure exist for a lot of kids in school. I'm glad your kids are doing well with it. I do worry about the ones that whose parents aren't usually involved at all, who are probably going to fall mm-hmm. further behind.
Totally. Because they I'm don't... watching it happen.
Yeah. And it's kind of a real wake-up call, I think, for parents to see how much teachers mean to the development right. of their children.
Well, and they're underpaid. Well, yeah. And there's been a lot of conversation too about, like, how many of these things are, like, short-term changes and how many are going to be long-term changes about just the way we do things after all of this. And I think that's one of them that it should be. Like, you should be more involved in your kids' education.
Yeah. Well, that, and I think it's great yeah. that you can log on and see your missing assignments. And right. all, so you can check on your kids then and be like, oh, you don't have homework? Lies. Mm-hmm. Lies. Sit your ass down at the table.
That they're not playing with the program at all and realizing that. Like, I have some friends, and I use that term loosely, people I know that are saying, how do I know? My kid logs on every morning, has no work, has no meetings, and goes and plays video games and plays outside. How would I know if he had anything to do? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Cool. Of course they do.
Yeah. It's they're saying, well, because it's the first work or the first week, they haven't assigned anything. It's just checking in and checking your internet speed. And I'm like, oh no.
That's not true.
That was the first day.
It's those same people who are like, I didn't know my husband was killing 15 people. Like, he left for work every day. How was I supposed to I didn't know he'd been fired 2 years ago. Yeah.
I would just say, like, be kind to the teachers, because I saw a tweet today from this girl whose dad is like a 50-year-old teacher, and how he's been calling her every day to, like, oh, yeah. I think I saw it like 8 times today to practice, you know, all of his stuff, because he really wants his distance learning to be like beneficial for his kids. And I know so many teachers like that, like that are older teachers, not that they're computer illiterate, but for some of them, like the districts out here, it's not all on Google. So some of them are using multiple programs for different things, depending on what they're teaching. Band has to do something different than whatever. And they're all having to be so creative and be so outside the box and really out of their comfort zone, even just through things like behavior management and stuff like that. So it's hard for them too. And it's a completely new, you know, so as much as the parents can be scared of technology, like imagine how some of these like kind of older school teachers are having to really, really
learn
kind of short
notice. Well, and the teachers have to figure out what to do with their kids all day too, because they're teaching class. Like, it's not a one way. These parents are constantly like, well, I have to work. What am I supposed to do with my kids? The teachers feel the same way. Teaching is their job. And that's not, I mean, I'm so disappointed that more companies haven't stepped up and adjusted like working hours for parents who have kids at home who are trying to go to school. It's such a missed opportunity for some of these innovative, big thinking companies to not be like, yeah, hey, if you need to log on from 4 to 8 at night to do your work, that's cool. We can rearrange meetings and stuff, because the amount of stress parents must be under that are trying to work and have their kids go to school at home. I can't even imagine. I'm so grateful that Lincoln's only 2 and we're not in that position right now, because honestly don't know how we would navigate that, because like Lex is a therapist. She's on calls all day with kids. She can't have a kid like screaming in the background. You know, like I don't know how.
I think a lot of kids are left at home alone.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's a lack of understanding too about what sort of programs are available. Because I know people that are having to use FFCRA leave, which is the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. And so I think with that, you can get up to like 12 weeks, I think, of paid leave. So something like you can't work. Like, I know people that are like, oh, for the first 2 hours a day, I just can't work because my kids have, you know, I have to do, you know, this stuff with them. And so that leave pays for those 2 hours of work every morning, whatever. Like, I think a lot of
it's
times
still disappointing that companies aren't being like,
I know, but sometimes, but I get it, because some jobs aren't like that. Like, you have business hours you have to maintain. So in order to get those coverages and stuff, there's some, but I think there's a lot of parents that are just like, well, I'm just not supposed to work. Like, no, like everybody's in the same boat. And so you'll figure it out just like everybody else is.
Mm-hmm. I understand that some companies can't, but some could be doing a better
job. But some for sure could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Some could be doing a better job.
I feel like one of the things that's like really frustrating, I think would be really frustrating. So, you know, up in Northwestern Indiana where I'm from, I have a few teacher friends, and a couple of the areas are doing hybrid, but then the other ones are doing like, you can choose. You can choose to have your kids stay at home, or you can choose to send them to school. So then the teacher has to basically do both. Like the one community, it's the teacher has to teach the kids in class and then also prepare a Zoom meeting for the kids that are at home. So like Stacy said, like some of these teachers are working 22 hours a day, basically trying to sleep for a couple hours, get up in the morning and start all over again. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I actually have a friend that said that she only gets about 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night because she is stressed to the gills about all of this.
Right. And contractually, a lot of them only get paid from like 8 to 3.
Oh, they 100% mm-hmm. only get paid for those hours. And now like all the teachers are getting ready to like strike in one of this one community. They're trying to decide what they want to do. Like their union is just like absolutely just like beside themselves that this is happening. But this is where I have this like, okay, so maybe you shouldn't have sent them back to school yet full time. Right. Maybe you should have done a hybrid program. Why do you think that it's necessary to send these kids back? Like, yeah, you might feel safe. Like she said to me, I feel safe. I feel safe in the classroom. I don't necessarily think I'm going to get, you know, COVID in the classroom. Okay, fine. If that's the case, you feel safe. But do you understand that, like, it's not just about feeling safe. It's about overloading the system right now.
Well, because parents put up this like ultimatum in a lot of areas saying, then I'll just pull my kid out and do homeschooling full time. And if that happens, the school districts lose the money for mm-hmm. those kids. And then they right. lose teachers. They're totally between a rock and a hard place. They're trying to accommodate mm-hmm. all these parents that think they're fucking special, that think their kids deserve something different than what everyone else yeah. is.
Right. And they're not taking into account the power of the teachers' unions.
Right.
Because there's no way they're going to agree to that.
Right.
Like to go back before it's safe. But also, how do you mitigate that when like you have a teacher, let's say somebody in their class gets exposed. Well, now that teacher's out. If it's like middle school, high school, that teacher taught multiple periods. Now that's a whole thing. You're not going to have enough subs to cover all the teachers that are going to have to, like, it just doesn't even make sense from that perspective either.
I wish. And this goes for just like as the country, I wish we would let go of this idea of like individualism a little bit and think mm-hmm. more community based. Like COVID is not going to last forever. I know it feels like it's going to, but it's not.
So, there's plenty of places where it's just not an issue anymore.
If we could just all protect each other until mm-hmm. we have a viable option, either because it's too late to mitigate it now. Like, we're not going to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Our only option is vaccination at this point because it has spread mm-hmm. too far and too many people. If we could all just take care of each other until we had a vaccine, this mm-hmm. won't last forever. And I get that doesn't take away the fact that some kids are going to miss their senior year of high school. And I get mm-hmm. that some kids have special needs and this has been way harder on them, especially, mm-hmm. you know, kids with autism and kids that have to be in special education classes. I get that it's not a one size fits all and it's tremendously difficult to handle those sets of circumstances. What I can't understand is the idea of, well, I just don't like it and I'm not buying into your bullshit and my kid needs to be at school kind of thing, when that's clearly unsafe for everyone right now. So could we all just take care of each other for a few months so we can get this under control?
Well, and it also seems to be the like religious right, all the holy rollers and stuff like that don't give a shit about other people all the time. And that part's frustrating.
Which feels like an oxymoron.
Right. What happens to the, like, love thy neighbor, but you're not willing to put a mask on so thy neighbor doesn't get COVID? Like,
I mean, it's, I don't get it. It sucks because we've said this on here 1,000 times. There are no good answers to any. All of the solutions hurt someone.
Yes.
And I get it. So if we could all just be part of the community and agree that this fucking sucks, until right. until it can be over, we're all going to be better off because people mm-hmm, are burning mm-hmm. bridges right now. And like, you're putting a lot of pressure on these teachers. We ask teachers for an awful lot to protect kids from school shootings, to raise them 50% of the time, to make sure mm-hmm. that they're getting an equal education, to get them into good schools. Like, we're there to make sure that they're not getting abused by people outside of the house. We're mm-hmm. they're there to mm-hmm. make sure that they're getting fed, that like, they're there to pick right. up on learning disabilities. We ask a shit ton from our teachers. And it takes a special kind of person to want to be a teacher, because you go into that field, I'll tell you what, it's not to get rich. It's right. definitely not to get fucking rich. So mm-mm. when they tell you, this is what I think is best, why won't people listen?
Right.
I just They're don't professionals. Get it.
They it's are the same educated reason that- and professional and...
Well, and... We trust them with so much. Why don't you trust their opinion on something?
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Why do you value them so little that you're willing right. to put them in harm's way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my daughter's teachers wrote a letter the day before the first day of school, and it said, I get it. I'm nervous too. I don't know how this is going to go. We're all in the same boat. We're all trying to do this together. We're all going to have glitches. We're all going to, like, you know, figure this out. But also, I don't know how to connect with you guys, because I connect with my children, like, one-on-one, face-to-face in the classroom. You can stay after school and we can have a conversation about what's going on at home. We can, mm-hmm. I can make eye contact with you. I can see you. I can see what you're wearing. I can see what you're doing. I can see how you act in class. All these things, like, for hours out of the day. And I'm at home. I don't know how long it's going to be before my four-year-old runs in and disrupts our Zoom meeting. Like,
sure. Yeah.
I am having the same struggles you are. So we need to be patient with each other. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was so big of her. Like, I really appreciated that. Because it's true. These teachers have kids at home, too.
Yeah.
I don't know when we stopped allowing for, and I hate using the word grace because I'm not a religious person, but I don't have a better adjective for it at the moment. I don't know why we don't allow each other a little bit of grace, because these are not some corporate executives that you will never run into. These are the people that have a significant role in your children's lives. These are people you see at the grocery store. These are people that your kids play on the same soccer team. Like, why is it so hard to extend them a little bit of grace in a time where everyone is feeling so much fucking pressure all of the time? All of the time. Yeah. Like, why is that so hard? And you're public servants too, by the way. Give us a break.
Right. Right.
Okay.
People.
So
can we talk about the convention?
We're going to in a second, because Mary actually sent us a question. She said, I think it's ridiculous that the I love how our listeners just write to us like they're talking to us like friends and don't even think that we're going to read it to everyone.
I know. Already have thoughts on this one.
First of all, I think it's no, she didn't say that. She was nice. This is from Mary. She said, I think it's ridiculous that the DNC only gave AOC like 90 seconds. She is the future of the party. And the Democrats are giving up all the prime spots to moderate dinosaurs. I'm so tired of it. Bill Clinton, gross. Agree. Is there a legitimate reason for this that I'm not seeing?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes, 100%.
Well, first,
yes.
Let me preface it by saying I get your frustration. I do. I'm going to actually let Stacey go first.
Okay, I'm going to have an unpopular opinion.
Okay.
I think Bill Clinton's charismatic as hell.
I think as soon as Bill Clinton popped up on that Jeffrey Epstein flight log, he should have been banned from the convention.
Well, for sure.
Whatever.
But I think there's some issues there. But I do think he's an eloquent speaker, blah, 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 blah. AOC was not on there to, that was not the function she was serving. She was selected to give the historic and symbolic nomination of the runner up. Which is something that always happens. So in terms of time for a nomination, she did not have less time than any of the other nominees.
She had more.
She actually had more, correct. So certainly not going to have the same amount of time as like Michelle Obama or somebody like that, because they were there as a speaker, not as someone nominating someone. So it was a completely different role. Mind you, she also she's already endorsed Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I love her. I think she's the future. I think she's whatever. I agree with all of those things. That's just not the function she was serving that night.
I agree. Mary, I get it, because I know it's been difficult for the super progressive wing of the Democratic Party to kind of accept this more left center nomination that was Joe Biden. I get that. It's been hard. But I will tell you, and this is going to be hard for some people to hear. The Democratic convention is not meant for the diehards already. It's not, it's meant for people who are on the fence.
Yeah.
And that is one of the reasons that they brought so many Republicans on, that were switching sides for this particular period of time,
which speaks volumes
for sure
too.
But they were essentially setting up a permission structure to allow Republicans that have never probably voted for a Democrat in their life. They were bringing all these Republicans on to say, it's okay, we get it, this time we all need to get on the same side because this is such an existential crisis. So I mean, I get it. John Case isn't everybody's cup of tea. He's adamantly pro-life. Like, there's right. all of these things. But he was Kasich's even saying, he was even saying, we have to put those things aside because Donald Trump is bigger than that, and we right. have to get him out. Yeah. So although I can understand your frustration, AOC wasn't put on because that's not the audience they were trying to reach. They were mm-hmm. trying to reach the independent, more conservative voters that are considering voting for Joe Biden, a Democrat in general, for the first time.
Well, and but I feel also, like, oh, okay. sorry.
No.
I was going to say, I feel like, too, part of the reason, like, I saw some posts about, like, hey, like, maybe you guys should have said more about, I don't know what's happening. What are you, is she rearranging?
I don't know what she's doing. Put your fucking mic on mute when you get up.
Sorry, I thought it was far enough away. It wasn't going to pick up anything.
Oh my God. Sorry. I thought you were like rearranging your books. I was like,
you were chopping paper.
No, but I think what is like I saw some tweets about like, hey, maybe you guys should have, you know, said something about what you stand for, yada yada yada. Like, what is your plan? What's Joe Biden's plan? And like, that's not. I get that there is a point behind that, but more. I think it was more along the lines of more along.
We can hear you.
It sounded like farts.
What are you talking? It's muted.
Oh, we could hear you cutting paper.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh, stop. Sorry.
I thought maybe I farted and I didn't realize.
I know.
That.
I was like, "Gee, it's all... here."
My microphone is freaking muted. But okay, my bad.
So I feel like part of the reason that you don't, I mean, yeah, there's always a plan. There's always, you know, running, they're going to run on some sort of platform, but also like, it's not just about that. It's about reminding everybody what the Democratic Party is about. Mm-hmm. And like, not just, you know, this is our plan, but this is what we've come to believe. And this is what the people that follow the Democratic, you know, party, this is what they believe in and what they subscribe to. And I think what was really exciting to see was so many like during the roll call, all these different, you know, citizens that came up and like spoke mm-hmm. passionately about who they are and what they want. And I just thought it was really, 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 really awesome. I was very impressed with the entire thing, but I just thought it was really fun to be reminded why I vote Democrat every time. Like why this is exciting for me.
I felt so patriotic watching it. And right. I'm going to venture a guess that we got that question before the final night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the final night was so pro women and pro minorities. And it was just like, it was so awesome.
I do want to. So I started following this woman on Twitter because I found her on Republicans for Trump. And I wanted to highlight one of the things she said, because this is exactly what they were going for. And I agree. It was much more than I expected it to be with like a virtual mm-hmm. convention. But she said, and this woman looks to be about probably in her early 50s. Okay. And she said, I was raised in a conservative Republican evangelical Christian home, church and school, but I've learned more about kindness, love, humanity, grace, generosity, and community from the liberal Democrats that I was told were godless heathens. I'm not going back. Shame on all of us. So
that gave me chills.
That's who this was meant for. And I'm trying to find one other tweet right now that she also sent out that I was like, oh my God, they're geniuses. She also put, as a lifelong conservative Republican, I'm mortified to see that it was in fact us who are the deep state. I mean, truly mortified. Mm-hmm. More of us need to wake up and realize that we've been lied to and used by power hungry, deviant, swindling monsters disguised as moral leaders. I'm disgusted and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Does this woman want to come on?
I'm just saying, this is when we talk about why weren't young leaders of the progressive wing of the party highlighted, it's because they're trying, whether you like it or not, to win this election. These are the people that they're trying to reach. Right.
It's bigger than Republican versus Democrat at this point. Right. It's about I think it was Bernie Sanders that said, this is about whether or not we continue to have a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is much, much bigger than individual issues. And mm-hmm. so I actually think like this, I've enjoyed this convention more than I've enjoyed any convention.
Well, they had to condense it, so they made it more appealing.
Yeah. Right. It was just, you know, the virtual thing, it didn't bother me at all because I thought they had a very, and this is going to sound weird to say about the Democratic Party in recent years, but they had a very clear voice, a very clear plan, a very clear goal, and it was all organized really well. The first night, I thought they did a great, great job. I actually liked the rotating moderators every night. I liked that it was always a woman.
I liked the virtual tour throughout the U.S. too. Everyone loved it.
So awesome.
I loved it too, and that it was just residents and why it's important. I liked all the little conversations they had with people who the family who the Hispanic family who the one daughter that was in a wheelchair is a dreamer and the other daughter was born here and the mom is here. I think she was undocumented, like just that whole story and how they work and pay taxes, like real people just telling real stories about
Brayden.
Oh my God. Look, Brayden and his stutter. I just was like, I just can't. And you hear these overwhelming, like,
I was like,
there was such a good, it was such a good reminder of what it's like to look up to somebody in that role. You know what I mean? I read whatever thing, I think I sent it to you guys, that said that that was the first, like presidential speech we've heard since 2016.
Well, and yes. And I'm getting kind of tired of like the Twitter pundits, and it was also nice to watch kind of the Democratic heroes speak without the punditry at every turn, analyzing everything they said. You got to take it in and kind of make up your own mind about like what they were talking about and what they stood for. And then I got on and it was like all these hardcore political pundits were kind of like, that's great and all, Joe's a good person, but what does he stand for? And it's like, you don't understand this time. So much of it is, are you a good person? So much of it revolves. And you guys are pundits. You eat, sleep, live, breathe politics. The average person wants to know that someone's in the White House that cares, that has a fucking soul, that when the doors are closed and the cameras aren't on them, they're still going to make the right choice, the decent choice. And policies, because they have to go through Congress, they have to go through the House. Right. Like, that kind of shit is secondary to most people that don't eat, live, sleep, and breathe politics.
And for someone that's like, I'm super, super, like, I'm a super Democrat. I'm, like, very, very,
you're the furthest
very
left.
Liberal.
Yeah.
Yes. So, for me to say, like, I like Joe Biden. I think he's a nice guy. But the thing I think that's nice about Joe Biden is that he can be, like, he can be bipartisan. Mm-hmm. He can work, like, demonstrating that history, that it doesn't have to be all vitriol with the, you know, opposing party, that he had such a long-lasting friendship with John McCain and that they could disagree about something on the Senate floor but then go have lunch together, like, because you're a decent human being. And so I agree. I think it was nice to see that, like the amount of service that he's given this country, the fact that he is, they kept pointing out, he is educated, he is knowledgeable, he has experience, like all of those things matter. You guys all thought they didn't matter 4 years ago, and guess what? You were fucking wrong. So,
well, I think too, like what was so exciting was like, and maybe this is just because we're so numb some days, is we've listened to this fucking bullshit come out of this president's mouth. He's not our president. We didn't.
No, he is our president, unfortunately.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, as far as like the shit that he has said, and I haven't listened to one fucking speech he's spoken.
I hate watching him all the time. I'll admit it. I hate watching him all the time.
Like, but it's like, I've never gotten chills from anything he said, not once. And I mean, believe me,
not even in the bad way.
I mean, that's more like nauseating.
Like, oh
fear.
Shit, he's gonna tear the whole thing down.
Yeah, that's no chills there. I just want to vomit. but like George Bush, like, I'm not saying that I loved him at by any stretch of the imagination, but there were a couple times when he would get up and speak and he sounded presidential, and I was like, you know, this is a great nation. And but Trump has made it so embarrassing that it's like listening to all of these Democrats get up and speak about what it means to be an American and what democracy means and why
I wanted to break out my little American flag.
Right. Like, it was the first time in a while that I have been like, I actually am still really much in love with this country because I feel like we are not completely gone yet and we can still fight back and still get to where we need to be. This was just a bump in the road, hopefully, and we're going to figure it out. And I just feel like this was the very first, I mean, like, I was fucking sobbing Kamala's, Michelle's, Joe's, every single time. I was sobbing, and it's been forever since I have cried because I've been inspired.
What it also allowed was, because we have played defense for so many years now, it gave us a quiet moment at home to be able to watch it. And I think, I understand the need to do it in front of live crowds and stuff. And I think from in the future, it should be a mixture of both. I think the major speakers should be done in an arena. And I still want to see these personal stories available, like, online and stuff. But it allowed you to actually be really proud of being a Democrat. And without without the noise. Right. Because am I the only one that subscribes to the New York Times? Yes. Yeah. Okay. So they did this... meter today where it showed like the different amounts of time that people spoke at the Democratic convention. And like, first I was like, oh my God, another fucking hack job from the New York Times, which I support because I think 9 times out of 10, they do super decent journalism and we have to support journalists. Sometimes they're hacks. But one of the things that I was like, oh my God, it wasn't just in my head. It was real. Was they did these charts that showed like, the establishment DNC spoke for this long. And then, you know, Republicans spoke for this long. And then they pulled up women and it was half.
Yeah.
And then they pulled up women of color and it was more than white people. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the moment that I was like, no, this is we're on the right side of history. Mm-hmm. We represent what America looks like. They're grasping at straws that don't exist anymore. And it was just one of those moments to see it actually in like little bubbles and like people's faces and stuff, where it was an actual representation of we're doing the right thing regardless of what anyone else fucking says. And you know, there's 115 women in the House of Representatives. Okay. 100 of those are Democratic. 100. We are on the right side. Whether they like it or not. And to see the platform, like listening to Elizabeth Warren talk
with a little hidden Black Lives Matter in the back.
But to listen to Elizabeth Warren elevate the subject of universal child care was, this is what happens when we put women in powerful positions, because universal child care, like listening to her talk about her Aunt B that could just show up and take care of her kids. Not every woman has it. We wouldn't have Elizabeth Warren if it weren't for Aunt B. And imagine the women that we're starved from because they don't have child care. Like that, that is what, even if you don't have kids or whatever, you are keeping women who have something to say out of power because there's no one to watch their toddler. Like, and that to me was
something
just
to say, but something to contribute to the country on a huge level.
Right. We would have missed out on Elizabeth Warren if it weren't for Aunt B. Like that,
you're gonna make me cry.
But that should resonate. Jackie? But the fact that this is a conversation topic now at a national convention that has never been talked about before is what happens when we put women in fucking power, and more of it.
I just think that's why it was so well done, because it's like, okay, so you have Elizabeth Warren talking about that, her first-hand experience with that, and then you have Joe Biden, the packages, talking about his first-hand experience with healthcare and with Beau. And with
Bo, the tribute to Bo. Jesus.
And I like how even when they had his son and his daughter talking, that they used the audio clips of Bo talking, so it was like he was in there. But being the parent of, you know, someone in the military, being a parent dealing with a child who has cancer, being the parent who loses your spouse and your child in an accident, like, that firsthand experience, it makes you so much more human, right? You have Kamala Harris talking about her family and her parents getting divorced and her, like, there was just so much of it that was like, not just why, but it was off. It was offset also by the, like, not even just, I don't know, even what they did when they were opposing Trump was so the right thing to do. The between Barack and Hillary and Michelle all saying, hey, we gave him a chance and he didn't rise to the occasion. And I forget, I think it was Bloomberg who said, I'm not telling you to not vote for Donald Trump because he's a bad guy. I'm telling you to not vote for him because he's done a bad job.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. Right? Accurate.
Michelle's, so he's in over his head, was the perfect.
Yes.
Well, and the, like, no, when they go low, we stay high, doesn't mean that you sit down and you don't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It means that you hold up your values and you do the right thing and you whatever. I just thought it was, like, tonally perfect. I thought there were so many different the gender representation and the ethnic representation and all of these really humanizing stories. And I don't think there's a single person, like, that was the best speech of Joe Biden's career.
Hands down.
And then of course they, all the tearjerker moments, they went back to his getting his, like, Presidential Medal of Freedom, like, all of it. I was just like,
And I'm gonna say it before we move on to the next question because we have two more to cover. I thought Michelle Obama's speech was better than President Obama's. I'm gonna say it.
I thought so too, because his was a little more like,
I find her to be more genuine because she doesn't read as a politician, and maybe that's she's more of a friend sitting in your living room being like, hey, I'm going to tell you how it is. This guy's not getting the, it's like her trying to tell you, get out of this bad fucking relationship.
Don't date this guy anymore.
She's like, listen, we tried this. We got to go. We got to go. You can come stay at my house for a weekend, but then we got to fix this shit. Like, that's how she, like, came off to me.
Lemon deal breaker. She's like, deal breaker. Let's get out of here. You know, like.
For someone who feel like I have been alienated from the country a little bit and from patriotism a little bit, because I don't feel like the where we are right now is something I can be proud of. I felt hopeful that I could be, like, I felt patriotic. I felt proud to be a Democrat. I felt like we have hope for the future, and it was just so positive and uplifting.
Yep.
Yeah, it was, the whole thing was great.
I agree.
I've always felt slightly bad for the next president. Like, if it's Joe Biden, I felt slightly bad that they inherit this shit show. But during the DNC, I felt finally like he's going to inherit this, but there's so many people behind him. Yes, he can handle it, but he's going to have such a great team behind him and so many supporters that have knowledge and love for America that it's going to be really great.
Well, it's refreshing to hear someone say, I'm going to hire people that are going to help me.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't know everything and you need smart people to back you up, and he won't have a cabinet and a staff that's full of fucking criminals.
Right. And full of fucking people that just have donated to him, you know, to his fucking campaign. Like, I feel like that's true leadership, is knowing that you
don't know everything,
that you lack in some areas.
Right.
You excel in others, but you surround yourself with people that are going to lift each other up. You're all going to be at a higher level because you all know how to support each other instead of breaking each other down. And
I just love it. And can we, last thing I want to say, because I know we have another question.
We have two more, Mamala. So make it quick.
Mamala and Doug, you can tell, still
love each other.
Oh, they are so awesome to each other. It's
and
so
the look on her family's face nominating her tells you everything you need to know about Kamala Harris.
Right. Yep.
Like, the genuine.
And Joe's granddaughters.
Oh, yeah. No.
How he calls them every.
It's beautiful.
Like, this is... How often do you hear Trump talk about loving memories with his children?
It's beautiful.
Or with Melania. Hold on. That video you posted, Jackie, on Twitter, where you're like, this will never not be funny. Melania's just like, stop touching me. God, Leave me the fuck alone. I know how to walk downstairs, you cock.
I bet she's going to vote for Joe Biden. She can't wait to get out.
She totally is.
All right, let's do... We're going to limit our response time to these because we've talked about them before. But so Claudia says, how do you all feel about the COVID vaccine? People seem super skeptical now, and I'm not sure what to think about it. Yes, it's hard to feel confident when you have an administration in place that you don't trust that it's going through the right steps and they're not just trying to shove something down everyone's throat to get the economy back on track. I get that feeling. I do. I don't think you're wrong. I'm skeptical about a COVID vaccine. I would like to see it go through some more trials first. Is it something that I would take? Let me put it this way. I will take it before I give it to my kid. Mm-hmm. That's about all I can say about it. They're going through trials. I'm not a vaccine expert. I am not a doctor. I think it's normal when we're in this environment where we kind of question everything from the fucking postal service to vaccinations to voting. I don't think you're being crazy by being skeptical. I do think, though, that the only way we're going to get out of this is by having a vaccine. So we need to be open-minded about it.
I feel like when Russia came out and said we're gonna have a vaccine and it's gonna be great, I feel like because of Trump's competitiveness, like he doesn't ever want to lose, like he immediately, it was just like there's this, like, it's not a race to the fucking moon.
Well, so right now
this isn't the space race.
There's 130 right now, potential vaccines, and several of them are in different phases. So there's phase 1, 2, 3, and then human testing. And right now we have two that are in the phase of human testing, and some of them have combined their phases. Russia is one of them. Now, if the vaccine that they put forward is from Russia, no, I will not be taking it. Okay. But we have some that Duke University has been working on. We have some that Stanford University has been working on. And we have some that Australia has been working on. If one of those three institutions comes forward and says, we have done our human trials and we're willing to put this forward, yes, I am much more willing to trust that than something that, and China has one going. I will not be taking one if the first one they come out with is from China or Russia. I just won't. Duke, Stanford, and Australia, sure.
Without doing any research about like what goes on with making sure a vaccine is safe for humans, I get all of the things that are super scary about it. We rushed it. We don't know what these vaccines do to people 10 years from now.
Sure.
What are the side effects 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Like, that's super scary. We don't know the side effects even a year from now. So I feel like without doing any research, I get why people are so scared, but I do feel like I have trust in science and I have trust in the FDA, and I trust that the people that are doing this know more than me about the subject. And having said that, I'm not going to go into it happily to get the vaccine, but I think that it's important, and I would, like you said, I would do it. But I would need to do a lot of research to calm my mind about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think there's so many unanswered questions that I think about that I'm like, what if it makes you fertile and I'm going to give it to my daughter? You know, like, just so many unanswered questions that I need to read more about it, because right now, if you ask me to get it right this second, I'd be like, no, I'm too scared of the side effects.
I think that's okay too. Like, they have rushed this vaccine. It's on a fast track like we've never seen before. And I think you're not being anti-vax by being like, let's pump the brakes on this and see, because we have skipped certain phases of these predominant vaccines. I think that's normal. Like I said, there are certain institutions that are producing them that I will trust more than other institutions that are producing them that I think are heavily focused on profit and trickery. So I too will be doing a lot of research on what they have found through human trials with them. And I think everyone should. Like, this isn't the polio vaccine where it's had 50 years of experience or 70 years of experience, or, you know, the smallpox, which that we eradicated smallpox in the 70s. Like, it's normal to feel this way. And I think it's okay to question where it's coming from. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer. at all.
Definitely. Yeah. None of us are.
So.
Right. I just don't want to be the guinea pig.
Right.
Because I have anxiety, so that won't be me. But same thing. I believe in science, and I believe in doctors. And so if knowledgeable people, if the subject matter experts who I know are just speaking based on science back it, then yeah, of course I would get it. Because it's the benefit risk analysis, right?
Right.
If there's a lower risk from taking the vaccine than there is from getting COVID, then yeah.
And I say I would take it before my kid because my kid is 2 and can't always articulate how he's feeling. If he were older and could tell me if he was feeling funny or felt like he needed to go to the doctor, I would have a very different answer. But he's 2. So right. I will take it first to see how it affects me before I let him take it. That's, I didn't mean you shouldn't give it to your children. Please don't take it that way. That's not what I meant. But he's little.
I think everybody's really nervous about it because it's rushed.
For sure.
I think they need to put out more than just, the vaccine is coming. Hey, guys, we have a vaccine. Trials are going great. They need to put out a lot more information in the news about what they do and what the process is so that more people understand, like, it's not just a, we're injecting you with whatever we feel like could be, you know.
Yeah, dumb it down for us, too. Don't just put out your fucking findings in these scientific journals that average people cannot read.
Yeah.
Like, I am not a scientist. I don't understand what half of these words mean. I want to know from a lay person's perspective what, because I'm willing to accept a certain amount of side effects. I am. I want to know what those are going to be, though.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Is one of the side effects death? I don't know then. Like, is one of them going to be that I gain 10 pounds? I might be more willing to take it. Like, those are the kinds of, like, what just tell us what they are.
Yeah. I would take diarrhea as a side effect.
For sure. Anal leakage. I mean,
for how long? For how long? Like, could I still go to Taylor Swift next year? I'll take anal leakage for a few weeks. I'm open to it.
Honestly, now that I'm a Swiftie, same.
Right. You're welcome. So this last question is from Katie. And Katie, I felt this so hard. I did. She said, I'm exhausted. I'm tired of fighting with people on social media about conspiracy theories. I'm tired of seeing people compare Canon Hynet to George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. I don't want to explain to people why Kamala Harris having a relationship with Willie Brown doesn't matter. But I feel like I don't have a choice but to constantly fight. How am I supposed to stay sane through all this? What can I do?
Vodka.
Agreed. It's exhausting.
It is. I got in that big fight with that guy that was trying to, like, convince a bunch of people that LGBTQ plus was going to add
pedophilia. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Pedophiles. And I was like, excuse me? All I did was Google it just for some research to fight back with him. And all of the top, like, 15 Google, like, sites that came up were like, this is not true. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Fuck you, bro. This is all I have to say. Google it.
Yeah, I don't often feel comfortable speaking on behalf of the entire LGBTQ community. However, on this subject, I will. No.
Right.
No.
And never. No. And never.
Yeah. Like Lincoln says, no, 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 never.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got that from, to be perfectly clear.
Never.
But never.
That's funny.
I just don't understand why these people with these conspiracy theories, like, say this stuff, or not even the conspiracy theories, but the comparisons too. They say this stuff, and then if you Google it, you have to actually deep dive to find evidence, which is not even real evidence, to back up their claims. So even if you throw at, like, a Snopes link at them and they're like,
liberal propaganda, fake news,
trust Snopes. Okay, then go to the next one down, bitch. If you can't trust this one, go to the next link down, because they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
They all say that. Yeah. Like, Google your information instead of sharing memes that come from angry people sitting behind a computer that have no knowledge.
Yeah. Conspiracy theorists hosts are like the most infuriating people I've ever been around, aside from Trump supporters, which typically
same thing.
They're both.
They're the same.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Typically they're both.
That Venn diagram has a lot. Yeah,
it's a circle. It's just a circle.
Yeah, I feel like too, like one of the things that's so frustrating is like, you know, I mentioned something on our chat thread the other day. It was just like, what? I need something to just be able to shut. And Jackie's like, you don't need anything. Just shut them down. Oh. And I was just like, I don't. Okay, you're right. Like, it's so true because it's like.
First of all, I don't think I sound like that.
No, you don't. But it was like kind of like a Hulk smash. You know what I meant? I mean, like, I just felt like you were right. You were so right. Like, I just, it was so much like, don't even fucking engage, because at this point, there's no turning them back.
Yep.
And it's so sad when I see people that I know that start to subscribe to these things that are like, oh, child sex trafficking is so bad. And I just figured it out because I watched this video. I'm like, you literally just figured that out. Like, it has been bad for a very long time, and it is still something that happens. And this fucking video is something that made you think about it. Like, where the fuck have you been? Where has your head been? Up Trump's ass this whole fucking time?
Well, yeah, but now instead of looking where they should be looking, they're looking at fucking Chrissy Teigen and Tom Hanks. Like, they're looking in all the wrong places now. It just distracts from the real issue.
So,
I was going to say, I have something to say about the question. Here's what I'm doing to keep my sanity.
Oh.
I determine whether or not.
Oh, she's going to answer the question. I mean, just rant about it. Oh, okay.
I'm trying to determine whether or not that person is receptive to hearing the information. If I'm just going to talk to like a brick wall, who's just going to be like, oh, libtard, that, like, nope, gone, done. That's not a thing that's going to happen. But if I truly think it's someone who is not educated, easily believe stuff they read on the internet, then I'll try and respond thoughtfully. That's my new plan, at least. Because, yeah, like that poor little boy that got shot. That's
horrible.
Horrific. It's so sad, and it's murder. But it is 1,000%. Not the same thing. It's just you can't use it as a, well, where's his justice?
He got
it. Right, they're going to get it because that person got arrested, and the cops that killed Breonna Taylor are still out just doing whatever, living their lives. So it's apples and oranges, and it doesn't take away. It's horrific, but stop politicizing that poor little boy's murder. Mm-hmm. It's just terrible. Like, it's just, I don't know. So when it comes to stuff like that, I think I'm just trying to be a little bit more selective with who I respond to and whether or not I think it's just going to start. If it's someone who is not receptive and is not willing to hear another side and isn't willing to learn anything, then right now, at least for my own sanity, I have to just kind of keep it to myself. Unless that person's being a real asshole, and then I get hella petty and I correct their grammar and I'm like, you're wrong.
Why you're wrong.
Right. Apostrophe.
The other thing to look at because you will give yourself an aneurysm if you try to argue with every one of these people. So I too have had selective debating with certain individuals, and beyond whether or not I think they're reachable, I look at who has also commented on their section and if I think they're reachable. Like, yeah. If someone posts something like that and they've gotten one like and no comments, fuck them. Like, right. No one believes their bullshit anyway. But if there's like an actual debate going on, I will chime in with, hey, you can look at these sources also, right, and take from it what you will. I'm not here to argue. Here's just 19 sources that you can also cross-reference your nonsense with, thinking that at least some of those people aren't completely buying in to the nonsense.
Right.
Like, you have to allow yourself a certain amount of mental stability in the whole thing too, because you cannot die on every hill. No one has that fucking energy. Yeah. And like Stacey said, some of these people aren't reachable, and that's unfortunate, but they're not.
And I think it depends on too, what is your relationship with the person?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm much more likely to want to respond thoughtfully to someone who, like, I consider a friend or or is a family member or something like that. If it's just some,
someone,
like,
you'll see again.
Right. Some idiot I went to high school with, that's like, it's not worth it. The other thing that I'll do too.
The only passing grade they got was PE. Like, no, right, I'm not fucking with you. Tell me about your expertise on child trafficking and labor trafficking as it applies to indigenous people. Like, no, fuck you, bro.
Right. Exactly. And so, and it's interesting, right? Because now that that's a conspiracy theory, there's all the, like, save the children stuff now, which has totally just gotten roped in with all these fucking conspiracy theories. But where were you when we were doing Red Sand Project and all of these other things? I mean, it's frustrating. But the other thing that I'll do when I see that kind of stuff is I will find something to post.
I did that the other day.
Factual. And I'll just post it on my own thing. Like, they'll see it. There's no need to start, because what I've learned with some of them is, especially the ones for whatever reason that are ex-military, is all their friends jump on the bandwagon and attack you. I'm just saying, the people that I, for whatever reason, there's this camaraderie with all of the guys I get in arguments on Facebook that are all ex-military.
They're all Marines, right?
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And their friends check. Just like...
Stereotype affirmed? Yeah.
Their friends like bandwagon jump on and, you know, whatever, but... So, like, that's not worthwhile, but I'm like, oh, you know what I can do? Again, maybe a little petty. I'll post it, and your wife's going to like it. So there's
that's
that.
That's how I used to get girls. Oh, your wife likes it? Great.
Or your husband is going to like it, depending on our friend group. Just saying.
Here's the other thing, too. It's also important... Oh my God, I just like died laughing at that. The other important, and I know this takes like another level of patience and understanding and critical thinking, because you have to remember, a lot of these people aren't applying critical thinking. Like we've talked about on here before, it's very easy to get people fired up about children being in danger, because that no one wants to think about a child being in danger. So if you understand why they're posting it, if they aren't typically one of these super right-wing, out-of-their-mind conspiracy theorists, and they've just started kind of with this whole Save the Children campaign, their guttural reaction to this is because they're scared for their own children. And seeing these types of statistics, as fake as they may be, they're worried about protecting their kids, which I think we can all agree on. Is a terrifying prospect. Like, the idea that your child could be sold into sex trafficking is fucking terrifying. Like, no one wants to think about that. So when I think they're reachable or normally rational,
right,
you can start a conversation with, tell me more about that. Why, where are you getting this information from? I want to understand more of what you're talking about, because here's what I have read, that 82% of children are actually sold into sex trafficking and labor trafficking by familiar people. Like, you're talking about
right,
new
it's gonna
husband.
Be someone in your family, your neighborhood, not Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
115 kids a year. And that's still too many. I'm not saying it's not... I'm not downplaying that, because if my child was one of those 115, I'd burn the whole fucking world down looking for him. But 115 kids a year are the ones who actually go missing by unknown sources. So let's talk more about what's truly at risk for these kids. They have you talked to your children about, hey, if one of mommy's friends or daddy's friends or one of the your aunts and uncles or whatever is talking to you in a weird way or touching you in a weird way, that's not a secret. That's not a secret. You should, like, it's starting to have those conversations, and I direct them into, hey, you seem super passionate about this. I think that's real admirable. Have you thought about volunteering at one of the organizations that actually work on human trafficking that have been tracking these things for decades? Like, you have to define where they fall in your spectrum of reachability and whether or not they truly want to make a difference or they're just scared. Like, those are difficult things to navigate, but there are organizations out there that have been doing really good work on this. And I don't think it's inappropriate to offer them those types of avenues to explore if they really want to volunteer or man phone lines or work with the people who are victims of it that they actually get back. Like, there are organizations out there for them to get involved in. So sometimes argument isn't the best. It depends on their intention. And you're going to be the only one that knows what their actual intention is in all of it.
And I think you can tell, because I've noticed the, like, oh, yeah, this person's mom who I know or whatever is posting this and sounds terrified, as opposed to, oh, this guy who I always get in arguments with is posting this shit to stir the pot.
Right.
I always feel, too, like, and I don't know if this is something maybe, like, offline we can talk about it, but, like, I always feel really, like, uninformed, even when I am informed, when I go up to talk to people that have subscribed to conspiracy theories, because they seem so, well, like, they have, like, their gun loaded. They have fucking all the ammo. Yeah, they're
because,
like,
you spend all your time looking at Taylor Swift, and that's the amount of time they spend.
There's nothing wrong with that. We all need an outlet.
That one,
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that we're using our powers for good, not evil. But imagine if you spent that much time looking up fucking Wayfair selling kids, you'd know a lot about it too.
I'd know all the lyrics, that's for sure. Like, I just feel like, with my friend in particular, remember I sent you guys that screenshot of her, oh my God. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I want so badly to say to her, like, tell me about this. Like, what are you thinking with this? But then also, like, I just know she's going to be like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm going to be like, I don't even know what to say to you, because all of that is so dumb. Like, all of it is dumb. All of it 100% dumb. Like, it's nothing. And I just don't, sometimes I feel like I'm not Pisces in the sense that, like, I just want to tell people how fucking dumb they are.
Well, I think the thing I have to tiptoe with sometimes, and it's hard to not sound like a know-it-all or whatever when you say this, but when people say stuff like that for a second, when they say stuff like that, I'll take a second and I'll just go, does any of that make sense though? Like, does any of that seem reasonable or rational? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was my point with all of this, like, oh, Newsom's just trying to shut our state down and blah, blah, blah. Right, but, like, does that even make sense? Because what benefit would he get from being the governor of a state that's been shut down and that's economy tanked? And, like, just really take a step backwards. And does that logically track?
And sometimes it works better, Katie, to sandwich it, especially depending on your relationship. And by sandwich, I mean saying, like, wow,
the positive sandwich.
Yeah, the positive sandwich. You seem super passionate about that. I admire that about you. I think it's great that you're so invested in something like this. Have you considered looking at the organizations that have spent 50 years researching this and volunteering with them or donating to them? Because not everyone has time. And I think it's really admirable that you're trying to bring notice to the, and then insert the actual statistics of kids that are victims to sex trafficking that disputes their claim. I'd like to work with you on this if it's something that you care about. Like, there are ways to approach a situation. Hey, it's called supervising dum-dums. There are ways to approach things that, because people, when they feel like you're threatening their intelligence, because what you're essentially saying is what you think and believe is wrong. And I'm going to tell you what you should think and believe. And no one is going to have a good reaction to that. You wouldn't. If I told you what you think and feel is wrong, and I'm going to tell you what you should think and feel, you're immediately going to be defensive. So,
especially if you don't have facts.
Well, but saying things like, tell me more about that. Tell me why you feel like that. Wow, that's really interesting. Let's take a step back and examine that further. Like, those are all things that are non-threatening that could force them to delve more into the conversation and actually have them be like, oh shit, I only got that from a meme. Right. I had an emotional reaction, which, hey, I get it. Thinking that your kid is gonna be taken is scary, but forcing them to think, okay, I actually haven't read that anywhere else. But being like, tell me more about it. Tell me where you found that. I would love to research more about that. I want to know more about this issue. And forcing them to be a critical thinker will force them to examine their own position. And hey, Katie, That takes fucking patience. Mm-hmm. And it takes a dedication to the relationship. So make sure it's someone that you actually give a shit about. And it's not just your fucking crazy uncle that is spouting nonsense that you're not going to reach anyway. This is for people that you can actually have a conversation with. Not.
Here's my advice. Get off Facebook. Get on TikTok while you can. It's way more positive. You don't have to argue with anyone.
Yep.
So what's everyone obsessed with this week? Let's just let Stacey go first because it's going to be too long. I'm going to limit you to 3 minutes, though.
Oh, my God. That's not enough time. Well, your time's ticking away now.
Your time's ticking. I started. On your mark, get set, go. On your mark, get set, go. On your mark, get set, go.
Okay. I want to talk about Chelsea Memel because this is important. So it's so – oh, my God. I love it. Okay. So
– 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
I can't even think. So when this show – okay. So Chelsea Memel was an Olympic gymnast. She was on the U.S. women's team in 2008, so she won a team silver medal, I believe. And, you know, like most gymnasts do, her career ended when she was, like, 20.
Right.
Because they want to keep gymnasts small and light and young and all of those things. So she retired. She got married. She had two kids. She's 32 now. She works at the – and coaches at the gym that her parents own. Her dad has been her coach for like her whole life, I think. So when the shelter in place started, gym was empty because there weren't any classes happening. So she started working out and conditioning again. Then she started a series on YouTube where she was posting videos and doing drills and calling it her adult gymnastics challenge and stuff.
I love that.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it. Yeah.
So she started doing that and it was like, oh, look at these drills. I'm super strong. Why don't I just try, you know, why don't I try some tumbling? Why don't I try this? And it has literally progressed. She's like 17 or 18 weeks in to a full-fledged comeback. Like, she's going to come back and try and make the Olympic team for next year. And the reason it's so amazing, number one, she's 32. And when I tell you that she looks better than she ever has, I am not bullshitting you. Like, it's crazy to have not done, like, I was watching some of the YouTube videos, and like the first time she puts on a pair of grips, she hadn't had a pair of grips on since she retired. And she was able to just literally get them on and like get on the bar. And it's crazy to watch. But her, like, it's just flipping the whole theory on gymnastics sort of on its head, because that whole keep them small, keep them young. She said she weighs more now, obviously, than she did. I know. But that she weighs more now than she did when she was at like the peak of her career.
Same.
And is stronger and
also same.
She's stronger and knows more now about her body and how it works than she did when she was at that age. So she said she feels stronger and in better shape now at 32 after having two kids than she did when she was was younger. And so the other thing that's crazy about it is, you know, I know we talked about Athlete A and all of the stuff going on with USA Gymnastics, but there's been some more drama lately in the gymnastics community, which is like heartbreaking to me, involving Kim Zmeskal and the gym that she owns and sort of abusive coaching there. Not sexually abusive, but ignoring injuries and, you know, all of the like Bella Caroli, like make him do it a million times, make Carrie Strug vault on an injured ankle, like
don't
all
bring
of
her
that.
Up. Yeah.
So the emotion, not my favorite. That whole theory of like drill, 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 repetition, repetition, repetition. And a lot of the time it makes these kids hate doing the sport. And so what she said is so different about how she's training now is, number one, like she's coaching, she's a mom, but she's also older and she doesn't want to injure herself. So if something hurts, she just doesn't do it. She's conditioning like twice a week with the teams, the higher level teams she coaches. She's only like getting in and tumbling a couple days a week, as opposed to some of these like elite gymnasts who literally train like 40 plus hours a week.
Which isn't healthy.
No.
It's like their school.
Right. They get homeschooled or they have tutors. Mm-hmm. They don't go to school. They train that many hours a week, which is so hard on your body. So then you have these girls who have to retire at 20 because they've had multiple surgeries and multiple injuries and broken this and sprained that. And it makes it so much harder. But for her, she said, like, really just conditioning and making sure she's strong and focusing on quality as opposed to just repetition after repetition, like a huge difference. And so it's so cool because She's older. It would be amazing to see her make a comeback. It would be so good for women and for moms. And, like, I'm just so excited about it because she literally, like, man, she's clean. I can't wait for her to start, like, really piecing some routines together. And it's so nice to see, like, literally the only reason she's doing it is because she loves it so much. She just loves the sport. And so, like, you should watch the – if you're ever just looking for something positive to watch, like, watch her YouTube videos. Even if you don't know anything about gymnastics, don't care about gymnastics, there's something that's so heartwarming about watching somebody do something they just love doing. Mm-hmm. And it's the sweetest because her kids are always in the gym with her. Her dad's her coach. So – and he's pretty funny. Like, he's a funny character. So he's always kind of pushing her and – but not in a, like – you know, you have to do this or whatever. Just gonna like, oh, I don't know, look pretty good. Maybe you should try that again. And he's kind of a boomer and learning how to use social media. And so it's just great. But I was like, man, I'm so here for this. And if she did make the Olympic team in 2021, she would be the oldest woman to compete on a U.S. gymnastics team in 60 years.
Wow.
The only one even close to being that age is, I want to say, from... there's a woman who's been competing in gymnastics at the Olympics. She would be 46 in the next Olympics if she competes. And I think she's from, like,
Yugoslavia or something.
Yeah. Yes.
I know
who
you're
talking. And I just took a shot in the dark. That just sounded right for gymnastics.
Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan.
Her video, so the last climbing the rope.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. This lady from Uzbekistan competed in the last Olympics, and I don't think she did great just because I don't think Uzbekistan has, like, amazing Olympic teams. But she was 41, and that's crazy. So just to put things in perspective, Allie Raisman went to the Olympics in 2016 and was 22, and they called her Grandma Allie. No one thought she'd make it there. Like, even... like, be able to make a comeback and come back to those Olympics at 22. Do you know how many gymnasts at that age don't make it past trials? Shannon Miller, Nastia Lukin.
I haven't even found my threshold for drinking at 22. Like, I didn't know when I'd be hungover then. Much less, like, well, grandma.
I can't even imagine doing a cartwheel right now.
No.
Oh, I want to see that. Cartwheel. If you're ever going to try it. We all want to watch.
Don't even talk about a round off or a no-handed cartwheel. Fuck you.
I feel like if any of us can do it, Aaron can.
Right?
I can still do it.
With
do
your foot? You can with your foot?
A cartwheel round Let's off see and it. A one-handed cartwheel.
Let's see it right now.
I can't do it drinking.
She's not drinking.
Yeah.
She's on water. That's not fair.
She's on water.
Russia, I feel like this is jinxed.
You two can have a standoff and we'll judge it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
And I can't do any, like, front or back handsprings anymore. That's where I draw the line. My foot can't handle that.
Shame.
Hey, I can get behind this. A 32-year-old trying to make a comeback to the Olympics. I'm here for it. Like, I can get behind this. Like, you don't have to convince me. I'm in.
Flipping the whole thought process on how it works.
I'm in.
And... no, you're in. I just want to say one more thing. If you look at every other sport, they're not children. And so having an athlete in gymnastics who's in charge of their training and their career and what their body does is such a game changer.
For sure.
And I'm like, I'm so here for it.
I agree. Fire all of the weird, creepy men that are coaching gymnastics and put this woman in charge of all of it. I agree.
I'd love to see them put, like, Shannon Miller, Allie Raisman in charge. Let Chelsea Memel compete. I'm so excited. I'm like, I'm here for it. So I'll be updating you guys on Chelsea Memel's progress.
I'm actually here for it. I'm not even being facetious. Like, I'm here for it. Stace, awesome. What are you obsessed with?
I was going to donate my time to Stacey because I knew that she had a long one. But I feel like this is a little bit important.
Reclaiming my time.
I'm going to try to hurry so it's not too long. I feel like I took a page out of my very brave daughter's book where she went to the ER and she told the ER doctor that he was wrong for his tests and she had him test her for something else and she was right. And I was so proud of her at that moment. Like, holy shit, you just
run the world. Yeah. Like,
yeah, you just told a doctor that he was wrong, and and you were right, and that just kind of blows me away. So when I moved out to the country, it's been 4 years, which blows my mind, but I had to switch insurance companies from a fantastic insurance company to garbage insurance, which a lot of people have right now. And the doctor that I saw wouldn't give me the meds that I'd been on for 10 or 15 years. And this went on for almost 2 years, where I was fighting for the meds that I need to be on. And I finally got a doctor almost a year ago that is finally listening to me. And I can't say enough about the fact that you need to stand up for yourself if you feel like you're not being heard medically, because I was not somebody that could do that. And I suffered it for so long that it put me into like needing more anxiety and panic meds than I probably would have needed had I been listened to 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say, like, there's something to be said for having a doctor that listens to you and really, really hears you. There's something to be said for having meds that you're supposed to be on that actually make you feel normal again. Like, I haven't felt normal in 4 years. Like, that's crazy to me that I had to, I hate to say it, I had to doctor shop. And I've always been kind of like, people that doctor shop are seeking meds that maybe they don't need. And I now have to eat crow because I had to doctor shop for a doctor that actually would listen to me, that gave me meds I didn't even know I needed. And now I finally am to a place where I'm like, I can just live normal. Mm-hmm. I'm not even like, oh, I feel great. I'm just living normal again. You know, so I feel like if you are somebody that is feeling any kind of way where you're not feeling normal, you're not feeling good, you're not feeling okay, and your doctor is not hearing you, my 16-year-old did it. You can do it. I, with crazily crippling anxiety, could do it. You can do it too. Like, you need to go to your doctor and say, I'm feeling this kind of way, and if you're not going to help me, I'm going to find a different doctor. And that's okay. That is so okay. Like, some like this lady doctor that I had 4 years ago that took me off the meds that I needed and refused to give them to me shouldn't be practicing because she fucked me up. So that's, it's kind of where I want to leave it, is find a doctor that will actually hear you. Stand up for yourself. If you, right, take care of yourself. If you have anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, whatever the case may be, if you don't feel right, find a doctor that will hear you. And if you can't find one, keep trying. Don't give up and say, well, I got a shitty doctor. Switch, go to the next town over. I drive an hour to my doctor's office to see this doctor that actually hears
me.
And
it's worth it, right?
And it's totally worth it. Like, I finally feel normal again. So I just want to throw that out there because I feel like mental health is super important right now with what we're going through.
Well, and women too often just take it.
Suffer.
They just take it because they think, oh, maybe it is in my head, or, you know, maybe I am being dramatic, or whatever they lead you to believe that your problems are. And it's ballsy to stand up to a doctor because you feel like, well, they have all these years of experience and what do I really know? And they're the experts, but you know you better than that doctor knows you. So good for you. Good
and for you. It's not only just my like regular doctor that I'm seeing. It was actually my lady doctor too, like my GYN, that I was seeing a guy and he was kind of trying to advocate for me. My insurance was shutting him down and saying that they wouldn't help me out. I'm seeing a new one now because that guy retired. This new one is like, oh, your insurance won't cover it? Let's fight it. Let's do it. Let's go. I'll go all the way with you. And I'm like, I thought if your insurance told you you couldn't be covered for something, that was that, you know? And so now I have this new doctor that's like, fuck that. Let's go to bat for it. Like, let's, so I feel like I finally, after 4 years, found a team of people that have like my best interest at heart.
That's awesome.
And I feel like that's super cool. So I feel like if anybody's going through that, switch doctors, find a person that's advocating for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Erin?
So I'm going to be real honest. I don't have anything.
Okay.
I literally have nothing. I've been watching Frasier. I'm on the 11th season. I've already talked about that like 16 times on here.
You and so Frasier.
I'm not gonna. It's almost done. I'm getting sad. I'm on episode 13 of season 11. It's almost done. I mean, beyond that, I have literally been just. I'm very excited to do the read through of Swift Vengeance, and I am obsessed with making sure Hannah does a Ripper Stitches out. So.
Welcome to my life.
Right? God.
So here in California, we were hit by a freak lightning storm, which we don't get here. I know other parts of the country get them in the summertime. We don't get them here. It's not normal.
We do now because we're getting them again this weekend.
Yeah. So climate change is wreaking havoc on California. But what I want to talk about... We lost Big Basin this time. It was the first state park in California, and we took it over. California State Parks took it over in 1902. It means a lot to a lot of people. For me, Big Basin, the first time I went there was about 7 years old. And every like forest or protected area has like the mother of the forest or father of the forest. And it's the biggest tree that's essentially like where it started. The mother and father of Big Basin were over 1,500 years old, which means they predated the Roman Empire. I was 7 when I first encountered them. And for me, it was probably more emotional than it should have been because I'm getting ready to start my period. But when I remember it vividly, and there's not a ton. I mean, most people remember from being like 6, 7, 8 years old. But I remember realizing when I saw that and my dad told me that it was, you know, 1,500 years old. That was the first time that like morality ever meant anything to me, that like this thing pre-existed me by 100 generations and it will be here 1,000 after. And I remember thinking at that time that I thought it was so cool that someone had the forethought to protect these trees and to protect the land that they were on. And that was the first time in my tiny little mind that I had like a conscious thought of that's what I want to do. I want to protect things like this. I didn't realize at the time Parks and Recreation was a field. I didn't know it was a job, but that was the first time that I had ever felt a connection to something that I thought needed stewards of generations to make sure that they existed for whoever came after. So when we lost them in this particular fire, it hit me like it shouldn't have. Like I felt like someone had died, and that's not normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm acknowledging that. But it was very sad for me to see something that means so much to California and so much to the country to have these pieces of land that were protected. And it was just a reminder of how real climate change is. Because this wasn't an arson. This wasn't someone threw a cigarette out. This wasn't anything but a series of lightning strikes that hit in an area that they don't normally hit this time of year, that ignited a fire because of our really dry weather. And God damn if I wasn't like on the verge of tears to see that the mother of the forest was taken down after 1,500 years. And it was just hard for me. It was hard. And I know that's not fair. And people have lost family members during COVID and stuff. And I get it. Like I get that they're not equal, but it hurt me because I do. That was my first realization at 7 years old that I wanted to be a part of preserving the state's park system as a profession, and it was taken to no fault of our own. So that was,
but you're not alone.
Climate change is real, fuckers.
Right. How many people commented on your, you know, Facebook status and was like, oh my God, me too. My family group chat that I have, I think my brother was the first one that was like, I am so sad about this. And same thing. We all kind of chimed in. That's where we camped when I was younger. We would go to Big Basin, and then we would go to the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk with a Pepsi can because you got an unlimited ride wristband.
Yeah, that was so.
So we would go from the campground to the boardwalk and back to the campground. I did Junior Rangers there.
Well, and if
all
people,
the time they sing the Banana Slug song.
People who have never seen the California redwoods, I can't even put into words for you. Some of these trees reach 300 feet. Like they're so impressive, and they're such a good reminder of how insignificant we all actually are, because these trees, they're incredible, and to think that they were just taken out by lightning is so
so many childhood memories there, like getting ice cream and the little general store, and like,
well, and you know what, Trump with his "you should have cleaned the leaves." Okay, no, California has been
Describing the forest floor.
We've been doing controlled burn since the 1970s, since they realized it was a thing that they like. Stop with that. Like, Big Basin was on a controlled burn plan. It was stop. We get it. Like, we're not fucking idiots out here. We did lose one of the most beautiful locations in California, if not the country, this last few days. And Big Sur is on fire also, which is also fucking heartbreaking.
And Point Reyes. And
yeah,
I think that's the thing. It's like when things catch on fire, it's usually stuff like that. It's usually parks in these kinds of situations. And I think that's the hard part, is it's like, man, Big Basin's so huge and such a big part of people's lives, but it also like doesn't feel like it's over yet. Mm-hmm. And so you worry about like, God, what else are we going to lose? Because
Yosemite's on fire.
Everything is. Everything.
I haven't seen the sun in like 4 days.
Well, and so the fire that was actually started at Big Sur was an arson. And whoever the fuck you are, you can take several seats, you asshole. Yeah. Like, to light Big Sur on fire, fuck you. Okay?
First, fuck you. Second of all, like, the whole... So, Cal Fire is at 96% capacity right now. Mm-hmm. So, and for those of you that kind of don't understand how that works out here, like, Cal Fire comes and takes over because our, like, local fire districts and fire departments can't handle big wildfires like that. Like, not when they're just dealing with regular stuff. And so, but these fires, like our one that was closest to us is, at least yesterday, was 70% contained. I'm sure it's much more than that today. But some of these fires are 40,000, 50,000 acres.
I lost a park.
And there's 0% contained. And it's like, they don't realize, and there's 367 was the last count of fires happening now, and we're going to have this dry lightning again Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is what's predicted. And so it's like, how many more of these, you know, you have a house, realistically, a house can be replaced. And I know that's hard to say, and your personal possessions, but you're talking about
the mother of the forest cannot.
100-year-old trees.
And like, good and bad. Bad first is that we were told by our local news station to have our cars pointed down the driveway and to have fire bags packed. And we did that with our kids last night, where we packed fire bags. It's a change of clothes. It's water. It's N95 masks. It's some fruit snacks. It's that kind of stuff. My bag has all of our important documents, our passports, our birth certificates. My husband's has first aid kits, all that kind of stuff, because chances are if we have to evacuate, he's not going to be here. He works for a utility company and he's never home. So we had to talk to the kids about, try to grab the cats. The livestock, we have to open the cages.
We have to open the pens
and we have to let them go, because we don't have the means to pack them into trucks. We have the means, but we don't have the means at a last minute notice and to try to get out of here. So the pro to that is the amount of outpouring of people that are willing to help people in this area always just makes me cheer up, because there's so many people like us that have animal pens that can say, hey, we're not in a fire danger area yet. We can take your livestock. And there's people posting on Facebook, here's my phone number, I can take horses. Here's my phone number. I can take llamas. I can take goats. I can take pigs. I can take whatever livestock. Here's my phone number. I have a truck. I have this. let me know. And people are racing out in the middle of the night to go get these animals. And to see that community coming together is so uplifting.
Yeah.
And so, like,
well, how many, just amazing. How many once-in-a-century hurricanes do we have to have? How many earthquakes have to rock the middle of the country? How many random lightning storms? We had fucking fire tornadoes here until people stop saying that climate change is a partisan issue. Yeah. Like, climate change isn't coming. It's fucking here. Right. It's here.
And like,
and we have to fix it, because like I told Lex today, I was like real worked up. What world are we leaving for Lincoln? What the fuck have we done? Because Chevron put out a study about this in 1960 and they didn't do anything. Scientists have been screaming about this for 50 years and we've done fucking nothing.
Well, so, and the thing that's frustrating is it showed us when the first shelter in place happened, especially in other countries, it made a difference.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's not completely irreversible. And
right.
And I think it's heartbreaking because we had, that all happened Sunday morning. So Sunday was sort of when all the fires were all going. I got called back into work at 10 o'clock at night on Sunday. I stayed there until 1 because we had to open an emergency evacuation shelter. And there was a family there that I recognized from the last time I did that. And I was talking to the lady and she said that they moved out here 4 years ago. And since then, where she lives, they've been evacuated every single year. And this was the first time she really felt like they were going to lose their home.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're, because all the, and if people aren't aware, I know this is super long. They're all in these complexes, like we, because they were all lightning strikes, even just our little unit here was 4 separate fires. So these people went to evacuate and were surrounded by four different directions of fires. And same thing out here, Stacey, people with horse trailers and all kinds of stuff. Like, I'm loaded up right now. I'm going to drive out there. I'm going to get people's livestock. I'm going to do whatever. Like, yeah, it's crazy to see the amount of support and the amount of people, you know, wanting to band together. And if you want to help, donate to the Red Cross. I know, like, our fire district here has been very vocal about, like, we appreciate stuff, but please don't go to the fire station and try and give us donations. Like, our guys, when they're there, need to sleep. So, I mean, if you live in California, you don't live in California and you can help, please donate to the Red Cross, because, you know, I've had to work with them side by side to try and provide, you know, emergency locations for people to go.
Yeah. Well, even just in the sense of like just climate change altogether, like there's supposed to be 2 huge tropical storms that are going to be in the Gulf next week, like that could hit, you know, any number of spots. Like, one's supposed to come up the west coast of Florida and just completely just soak us like crazy, floods, everything else. So it's so crazy to see like the difference in the way climate change affects people. Like, obviously, we're going to be super, super drenched. You guys are super, super dry. And it's just, it's so crazy.
Climate change is real. Thing. Stop denying it.
It's so fucking real.
It's not a partisan issue. We're losing our natural wonders of the world because of climate change.
Well, not Florida.
Well, no, we could get rid of
you. Bye, that's Florida. Fine.
But like, how many areas do we have to lose before this stops being a partisan thing and starts just being where it's here? We have to deal with it, and we have to stop being so negligent about it, because this is not the world I want to leave for my son. It's just not. I don't want him in 30 years to say, "What the fuck did you do about it?" And to me, be like, I don't know.
But,
yeah. Like, we recycled. Like, that's not enough anymore. It's just not. And it doesn't matter what generations failed us before. This is our problem now. And
And why don't you start by voting for someone who believes climate change is a real thing?
Right. That's a really good start. And I don't know. I took it really hard today, losing Big Basin. Mm-hmm. And it's not... I'm thankful that there haven't been more people hurt, more human lives have not been lost, but Big Basin, especially to Californians, means a lot, and Big Sur means a lot, and Yosemite means a lot, and it should matter to everyone else too, and because it may be California right now, but it's going to be somewhere else in a few months. So there's 13 different states on fire right now.
I'm just going to say, Colorado used to have...
Yeah, there's 13 states on fire. So it's not isolated to the Democratic. Like, lightning doesn't give a shit who you voted for. It's going to hit you. Yeah. Earthquakes don't care.
Land hurricanes.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Iowa is going through some shit, too.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere right now. So I don't understand how it's still like a partisan talking point. Like, can we all agree that the fucking climate is revolting against us because we have destroyed it for so long? And at this point, it's kind of like coronavirus. At this point, it doesn't matter where it started. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. It's here.
It's here.
So yeah. What are we going to do? Like, right. What are we going to do about it? So, yeah, that was it. I took it personally today because it's where I realized at 7 years old that I wanted to go in the profession I was going in. And I know I'm not the only one that has like personal memories of that area. So, I mean, there's people that they spread their parents' ashes there. And like, there's all kinds of like familial stories that take place in Big Basin and Big Sur. And I mean, fuck, you like Big Little Lies? It was filmed at Big Sur. So fuck off. Mm-hmm. Get on our bandwagon. And right. You're a Kaler fan? Big Sur, huh? All right. Sorry, guys. It's been almost 2 hours, but that is it for us. Keep sending your questions in. I know that I skipped a few of you. We'll circle back around. I try to put them into topics that we're talking about, but we will try to get to all of them. But that's it for us. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, especially if you're in one of the 13 states that's on fire. If you're in Florida, I mean,
good fucking luck.
I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I am Stacy, the middle-aged old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal in Florida. Sorry.
We've been trying to extract you for months.
No.
I know. I feel like every digging you send is not up to slack.
What did you just say?
I think it takes too strong. Did I say dinging?
What was it? Was that English?
She's drunk.
What did she say? Bye.